You're listening to Spilling Ink.
Spilling Ink is brought to you by Book Branders, your self-publishing concierge.
All right, so.
Hi.
Are you? Welcome. We are at the Sheraton now. We're no longer at the Comic-Con. Surprise, surprise.
Hi.
And I am here with content creator extraordinaire, Angelique Roche. How are you doing tonight?
I am great. Thank you so much for coming over to the Sheraton.
Yes, it was an adventure because we're using the GPS on our phone and we're going underneath streets and beyond buildings and into tunnels, and it was kind of scary.
That's the thing I like about Chicago, though. Chicago has this beautiful architecture. It's tunnels and down and up. There's actually a couple cool bars that are down these stairs here and there that are
somewhere
to be discovered that I've gone to. I like Chicago. It's a good city.
Well, it's good. Well, and you were here in town actually working, if you can call it work, because it looked like it was a lot of fun too.
It's my job.
So tell us what you were doing here at the comic convention.
Well, today I had the opportunity of hosting three panels. Yep. Three panels.
It's a long day.
It was. And a cosplay contest, which was amazing. We did the Evolution of Thanos with Jim Starlin and Ron Lim. And then we did a great panel with Karen Gillan, Lee Pace, and Chris Evans, Avengers versus Guardians of the Galaxy. And then I got to interview one of my favorite doctors, Matt Smith. And I'm a big, big, big Doctor Who fan.
That's my favorite doctor right
Yo,
there. That's
David
my only
Tennant,
doctor.
Was he your first doctor?
He was my first. He is my first, and he will be my one and only. Although I will start Capaldi pretty soon.
You should also watch Tom Baker. So Tom Baker was my first doctor that I remember. And I got into Doctor Who when I was a kid because someone gave me a TARDIS key. And I was naive, but also because I watched Doctor Who, because it came either, depending on the year, before or after Red Dwarf on PBS, and I was a huge Red Dwarf fan. A lot of people don't know about Red Dwarf unless you're like a diehard fan, but it was one of the first British comedies I'd ever seen that had a lead that was a black man. Actually, two. So Kat and Lister were both people of color, and then you had Rimmer and Crichton, and that was kind of the top four, and then Kachansky. And I would watch Red Dwarf religiously. It's actually still on to this day.
Okay. Is it on PBS, or where do you see it?
It's not on PBS anymore. It got bought by one of the Fox stations, and I think it's in season 10. Pretty sure it's in season 10.
Okay.
But it's pretty great. It's by Grant Naylor. It's no longer Grant Naylor. They split, but it's a great series. It's basically about a guy who gets stuck in stasis because he doesn't want to give up his pet cat that he got off some random planet. And so they put him in stasis.
This sounds like my wife.
It's great. The cat doesn't go in stasis, but while he's in stasis, the entire ship's crew dies because of a radiation leak and a faulty panel on the ship. But the cats are the only thing that basically exist besides other things that grow. And so the ship keeps him in stasis for 3 million years until the ship is able to be livable again. And the cats evolve into a cat race. And so when he finally comes out of stasis, he is greeted by a humanoid cat that is a descendant of his cat.
Are you making this stuff up?
No, I'm not. It's the greatest show ever. You need to watch Red Dwarf. It's great. It's great. It's on Amazon Prime. They've got it on BritBox.
Okay.
I watch it all the time. Actually, there's a group in Philly called the Black Tribbles. And when they introduce you into the Tribbles, you get a Tribble name. And my Tribble name is actually Tribble Kachansky from Red Dwarf. Christine Kachansky was Lister's love of his life. Anyway, you should watch it. Lister is basically, because of a time paradox, his own dad. It's a lot. It's great. It's great.
Okay. And I've never heard of that. I will look. Prime is where we watch most, where we consume most of our content now.
BritBox is really great. Everybody's doing their own streaming stuff now, but at least Prime kind of consolidates it for you.
Yeah.
So I do my HBO and my Stars and my Showtime through Prime.
Okay. Well, and you mentioned something that I actually did want to talk to you about. You mentioned Red Dawn having a person of color as a main character. And we're seeing at least in the Marvel world, with Black Panther, we finally got this really badass person of color that's, you know, giving some good representation here at last, which is something that we've been lacking.
Very excited that that will continue.
Yes, yes, thank goodness. And then as far as females go, we had Wonder Woman who finally portrayed a female superhero who wasn't about sex appeal. She was about being a badass and justice and seeking her own cause. And I absolutely love that. And in America today, we have this really strange climate going on where it seems like on one side of things, on the creative side of things, like we're moving forward and we're evolving and there's more representation for people of color, for LGBTQ people, for everyone.
Yeah.
But humanitarian-wise, it doesn't feel like that to me anymore. And I know that you talk a lot about humanitarian issues.
You.
What are your thoughts on this? It seems like, you know, we're going good in one direction and sliding down the hill in the other direction.
Well, I actually think it's a mix, right? Part of it is because part of what we're seeing is that issues are being elevated in a very different way than they used to be. That things are being covered differently than they used to be, right? So, particularly when you're looking at people of color and people of women, like, you have to realize that before the 70s, there really wasn't an idea. Like, sexual harassment wasn't something you could complain about, right?
It's just something the guys did.
It was, yeah. Boys will be boys. It was a horrible statement, but it's something that was used in every sense of the word. Like, when you look at things like Mad Men, Mad Men isn't just a good show because it's creative and because at the end of the day, it was really about the woman character. It also is very reflective. And so when you think about the idea that movies, and I don't know if you've ever seen this clip, but there's a clip where there's throughout movies where women used to be spanked in movies. And it was a real thing. Like, it literally was a real thing. Like, there was a joke in the Doctor Who where Bill Potts was on the ship with a former doctor, with technically the first doctor. We won't get into semantics. And, you know, there was a lot of misogyny that was put in because it was part of that culture. I'm not, whether I agree or not, but we look at it differently from a different perspective. Whereas we're talking about sexual harassment now, whereas we're talking about implicit bias, where we're looking at things in a very different way. And so part of it is that we have a brand new perspective on these things are wrong, and they need to be called out, and they should be changed. And I think the other part of it is there is just change is hard. Change is difficult. Change is tiring. You know, when you look at the fact that, and I love it, I used to work for the Men's Foundation for Women, and I had a great conversation with Gloria Steinem about feminism when I did my first campaign. And this idea that when they polled women, when Ms. Magazine first came out, a good amount of women who identified as white did not agree with feminism. But black women overwhelmingly believed in feminism because it meant the equal right of all genders, because they believed in civil rights. And I think part of it is this awakening of what is wrong, and part of it is this very visceral reaction when we realize that all these things used to be okay. Like, when you have these situations where, you know, you have reports of people having buttons on their desks that lock doors, and I'm not going to bring the case up, but these are things that happen. When you look at Bill Cosby, when you look at, you know, these different situations, these were years and years and years of people being complicit. I'm actually excited that now I feel like women are getting an opportunity to stand up and speak out. When you look at the fact that Anita Hill, when she came out against the confirmation of her justice, you literally had this swept on the carpet to the fact that Joe Biden apologized, which I thought was phenomenal and amazing and so cathartic for so many people, that now you have an ability for women to literally be there during confirmations and protest. You have stars who are utilizing their platforms to speak out because they understand that they have the ability to do that. And it's not going to ruin their careers. A lot of times, women were silent because they felt as though it would ruin their reputation and their career because there was so much negative backlash.
Well, and look what's happened right now with the Kavanaugh hearing. And, you know, and I bring it up, and everybody's talked about it for a long time now, and everyone's sick of it. However, and what I'm wondering is, yes, it is, it's a blow, and it's a bad thing. I am extremely disheartened by it. But do you feel like the progress that's being made with women being able to speak out kind of overshadows that, or is it still going to be dragging us down?
I think one of the most amazing things today to happen on the panel, and this is going to answer the question. I asked the Avengers panel, Avengers versus Guardians of the Galaxy, who are their superheroes? And Lee Pace said, voters. And I think that's my answer. Because when you look at the fact that we are looking at things so much more critically now, and it's actually what I love about and why I love comics so much, why I love nerd culture so much, is because so much of it speaks to social justice. So much of it speaks to equality. So much of it, in its essence, when you look at a Star Trek and you look at what Gene Roddenberry and now Rod Roddenberry really had at their core, when you look at the voice that Rod Serling used in The Twilight Zone, and using The Twilight Zone as an ability for him to speak out about injustice and to speak for equality and to speak out against censorship. When you look at Desilu Productions, which is the reason why we have Star Trek and why we have The Twilight Zone, and you look at the fact that you had a company that was owned by a man of color and a woman who gave their everything for Star Trek to have a chance. And you look at how that fandom touched even Martin Luther King Jr. And you look at stories of how Nichelle Nichols was about to quit Star Trek until she talked to Martin Luther King Jr. And he was like, no, we need people of color to exist in the future. When you look at the fact that Nichelle Nichols inspired every single African-American astronaut ever, including Mae Jemison, the first black woman to be in space. It's all tied together. It's all tied in this ability for us to continuously change the dominant narrative, to continuously show how diverse, but how much better we can be as humans, how aspirational it can be for all of us to work together. When you look at the Avengers, who are, look, Janet Van Dyne was the chairwoman of the Avengers in the 80s, right? When you look at Monica Rambeau was the chairwoman of the Avengers in the 80s. When you look at She-Hulk and Jen Walters, who was a lawyer and brilliant and trying cases and a hero. It's aspirational. And, you know, I've said it once, I said it again, and you know, my colleague Harry Goh actually had said this to me, and I don't want to take credit for it. Superheroes are modern mythology. They are aspirational. And so I do see the voices changing. I do see folks being able to walk about the world in their own identity. Seeing more queer characters in comics, seeing more strong women characters in comics. And I think there's a long way to go, and there's still work to do. But I truly believe that even the fact that we're having this conversation is showing progress.
Well, and it may be a small encapsulated example, but yeah. we just came from Comic-Con, and yeah. I walked around the floor maybe 50 different loops talking to people and meeting people and chatting with everyone cosplaying, and there were all sorts of different ethnic groups there. And
yes.
All sorts of different fandoms there, but nobody was giving anybody else a hard time. Everyone was happy. Everyone was just celebrating that they're nerdy or geeky and into their fandom, and it was great. And I feel like I don't get that experience very many places outside the sci-fi and fantasy world. And I don't know what it is about sci-fi and fantasy that brings people together like that, but it's a magical thing.
So I think one of the things that I really love, and I talk to creators about this all the time, one of the beautiful things about Comic-Cons and conferences and interactions and being able to do this digital content with creatives is that the people on stage today will never fully ever be able to see the overall impact that they have, the ripple effects that they have. I've never met Nichelle Nichols. She has no clue that this little nerdy girl from the South who spoke about it at length at the 50th in New York, who spoke about it at length in Star Trek magazine. I will profess the gospel of Lieutenant Commander Uhura, because it was the first time for me seeing a woman in such a pinnacle role that was not identified by her color. She was not limited by her gender. And I love how she personifies that. And what you get at a Comic-Con, particularly at Ace Comic-Con, which I've had so much fun today, because this is my first one. This is my first Ace Comic-Con, and I had an absolute blast, is that we're brought together by the things that change our lives and the superheroes who embody the things that we aspire to be. And I had an opportunity to talk about Spider-Man the other day, and I love Spider-Man. I love Peter Parker, but I particularly love Miles Morales. Because I live in Brooklyn, and Miles is from Brooklyn, and this is a very nerdy thing to say. The spider that bit Miles Morales was 42. Do you know who else 42 relates to?
I don't know.
The first black man to be admitted to Major League Baseball, who also played for the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And there's so much connectivity. And you know what? That might not have been what Bendis was thinking about.
But it meant something to you.
But it meant something to me. And that's the beautiful thing about fandom. And it's the beautiful thing about when you talk to somebody like a Ron Lim and you have this conversation about environment and what environment means and the intentionality that goes into artwork. And the fact that Ron Lim grew up reading Jim Starlin and then got to work with him. Like, that, it makes life's so much fun when someone can do the thing that...
Well, it's a dreams come true kind of thing.
Couldn't have said it better.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Tell us a little bit about what you do when you're not doing Comic-Cons, because you've got podcasts.
Tell
us about your podcast.
I have podcasts on podcasts on podcasts. My life is so much different than it was a year ago. So I'm a freelance journalist, and that's really how I identify all of it. And so a lot of people don't realize that journalism, of course, is written journalism. I have written. I've done critiques of movies. I particularly look at the cross-sections of social justice, current events, and nerd culture, because I think all of them are related. That nerd guy in your class, I promise you, is going to end up being someone's CEO, and he's going to affect everything. So please remember, the things he's reading now are impacting him in 40 years. And so I work for SiriusXM Progress. That was my first real job in radio and voiceover. I do imaging for a couple of their shows, as well as I fill in for a couple of the hosts there. And I've currently been working for Marvel. I have a show called Marvel's Voices, which focuses on not just the work that happens at Marvel.
The stories behind that work.
The
it's
stories
great.
Because I love
that podcast.
Man, I love creatives. I really, truly am fascinated about the things that influence them and why they create the things. Because when you look at, you know, we've all studied literature. We all had to take philosophy at one point in time. And you cannot pull someone's creation away from how they identify, what they think is important, what has become important to them, and the experiences of their lives. Because when you read someone, even if it's a Phyllis Wheatley or a Charles Dickens or an Octavia Butler or any of the people that we love so very much, when you look at the guy who wrote The Magicians, why is his name... Oh, or Justin Cronin, who wrote the Passage series.
Oh man, he was awesome. You hit him on your.
I haven't had. I haven't. I wrote about him because I'm so impressed by Justin, because Justin Cronin wrote the sci-fi, wrote his book, The Passage series, which is his new take on vampires, which I think is brilliant.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Because his daughter wanted to have a story where a little girl was a superhero, where she was the one who saved the world. And it fascinates me how people inspired to build these stories and how that ripple effect inspires so many other people. Like how Jim Starling was in the middle of a psychology class in junior college and came up with Thanos.
I talked to him today. He's a funny guy.
He's a fascinating dude.
He's very humble, too. He was like, yeah. Ah, it's going to be over in 15 minutes, and then I'll go on to being a, you know, what was the word he used? I don't know.
He's a fascinating guy. And I also do a show over at Sci-Fi called Geek Explain. So imagine your best friend from high school is explaining that thing that they're really geeked out about, just like I was doing Red Dwarf not 5 seconds ago. In 15 minutes, and it's an Amazon Alexa exclusive content, as well as I have an independent podcast that I do with the Blurred Girl, Kara Mahorn, who is also from Sci-Fi, you've seen her on Who Won the Week. She does the Who Won the Week podcast every Friday with Adam Zdarsky and Danny Ordinary on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
Danny's great. I love Danny. And I have the opportunity to just be on these talent teams and talk about the stuff that everybody loves so very much. I mean, it's a little surreal. Like, I have interviewed 2 Doctor Who's in the last 7 days. And it's very, very surreal.
I feel like
surreal.
You're just trying to, like, dig the knife into me more and more.
But the best part about it is I get to have a 3-way conversation with the person that I'm talking to, but also with the fans. And I get to ask those questions. And I was talking to someone today. I said, if I can get one little cool factoid that they never said before for that person who's sitting in the audience, that just their lives were changed. You know, and one of my favorite bars, and I got to shout out the Way Station and Andy back in New York. Have you ever heard of the Way Station? So it's the TARDIS bar. It's in Brooklyn. The bathroom is a TARDIS. It's bigger on the inside, no lie.
Excellent.
I have a Stein there, and it's literally the personification of what it means to be a fan. Because on the inside, Stephen Moffat has signed the inside, Karen Gillan has signed the inside, Matt Smith has signed the inside, and you have all these amazing people who have passed through this bar, but all these people who come there because there's a TARDIS. And because they all come together because of their fandom, and they, you know, they watch, and Andy loves Sharknado, and so Sharknado is always played there, Nerdyoki there once a week, that's hosted by Joe, who also is a huge Rennie actor. He's at all the Renaissance fairs, and it's just family. And it's amazing to me because people are brought together by the things that they love.
Yeah. That's awesome. A good friend of mine, Katie, who's also our co-host on the show, and she lives out in Vegas.
Hi, Katie.
We're not talking about politics, Katie, I promise. I'm not supposed to do that. But she's not here to stop.
Okay, so great.
Because she's an author, and I write books as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she goes to conventions out there, and I always ask her, you know, how do you strike up such good conversations with people? And she was like, you know, I pick out the people that are cosplaying as the characters that I like. And then I just go and I have an instant connection with them.
You have an instant bond.
Yeah, and it's like, well, that's a good way to do it. Well, I do want to ask you about one more thing, because
okay.
You are a successful podcaster.
Thank you.
And
I appreciate that. I'm very good audio producers, though.
You do have good audio producers. Your sound quality is fantastic.
I shout out the audio producers, because it's not just me.
They would probably croak if they saw that I have my microphone tipped up on a
not
on
gonna
a
lie,
table.
This is actually, we actually record, we have regular mics, but we record on one of these for Radical Geeks. Shout out to Karima for dope equipment.
And the Zoom H4n Pro, we love it. It does a good job. But my question for you is, because we have a lot of friends that produce podcasts,
yeah,
and they're always trying to figure out how to get more traction. How do you get in front of more viewers? You know, how do I get better content? You know, do you have a particular recipe that you use, or do you just go where the wind blows?
It depends on which one. So I have 3 different types of podcasts, and I think folks just need to know, one, their target, two, the type of podcast they're doing, right? Mm-hmm. So I have a long-form interview podcast. It's Marvel's Voices. And I say I because they're continuously telling me to say I, but it's we. It's a team, and it's always a team. And I think it's, too, you have to remember that you have to have a good team. Like, it's not just yours. Like, I'm very lucky that for some reason people like hearing me talk and ask questions. I don't know why. So and
you,
then
you clearly hate talking. Too,
I hate talking. It's a horrible thing. I'm so glad I got my voice back. On the other note, two, I have a very short content podcast, which is Geeksplain, which is it's scripted. I have a great researcher. Shout out my brand new researcher, Connie Gibbs, who's amazing, ConStar, who also works for Time Kids and is a great TV analyst, and she's really, really good at looking at nerd culture, and a huge Harry Potter fan, huge Doctor Who fan.
She sounds awesome.
She's amazing. And then we have Radical Geeks, which is a live podcast. So we actually have a live audience for that, and we do it in the basement of a comic book shop. And what we do is Demetrius, who owns Anyone Comics in Brooklyn, either you're a member at Anyone Comics and you get in for free, or you buy comics, and we do it on Wednesdays. We specifically do it on comic book day, and so we always really think about the fans, and at the end of the day it's really about the fans. And even in the long form interview, I go, okay, so what story am I trying to tell? And I do an extensive amount of research. It's almost kind of creepy scary. Like today we sang happy birthday to Matt, and it was very sweet of him to sing. I still haven't
that was adorable.
Accepted the fact that everyone got happy birthdays all around.
Yeah.
But I look up, and I'm very intentional about knowing who I'm talking to with that, and what is their story, and what is the story that hasn't been told? What is the story that the fans want to know that hasn't been told? What is interesting about this? And I think one of my favorite interviews, and I have a bunch of favorite interviews, I can't pick one, but Jeremy Harris from FX's Legion has this really cool background where he is a performance poet, and he did work with Samora Pender Hughes, who is this great social justice artist, and they all went to Juilliard together, and his mentor is from New Orleans, and he's from the Treme, and you find a connection. But he's really great, and you think about what is his story and what haven't people talked about, but also be intentional and know who you're talking to. You know, and listen to the other interviews. If you're asking the same, sometimes it's okay to ask the same questions because it's background, but also, like, what fun thing can you do that isn't, like, completely hokey and off the wall, but, you know, that you can do? And we, one of the podcasts that I think has also been a lot of fun, Carlos Hernandez was our recent Radical Geeks podcast I did with Karma. So Carlos Hernandez wrote The Assimilated Cuban's Guide to Santeria, but he's also coming out with a brand new book, which is going to be a kid's YA novel about breaking the universe. It's great, but he's just such a fun guy, and he loves games.
Okay.
And you just know what's going to make their face light up, what's going to make them excited, exactly what your Katie said.
Yeah.
If you know that someone cosplays a character, clearly they connected with that character.
Yeah.
Clearly there's something great about it. And then always have a social media strategy. Like, so at first and foremost, I come from a communications background. I have a BA in journalism. I do PR and press. And you always think about, okay.
And you're an attorney.
I am.
Let's not forget that. You have a degree
I have a law degree. It's a thing that I did once upon a time. I've been a lawyer for a long time. I'm not going to age myself.
I know how old you are.
Ha-ha.
You admitted it today.
We did. I am the same age as Matt Smith, and I'm very proud of it.
You are 2 years younger than me, so you're still doing okay.
It's a good age. It's a good age.
It's not terrible. It's not terrible.
I enjoy it. But have a plan. Make sure, you know, you're spotlighting the people. Make sure the guest is the big thing, but also just, you know, collaborate. Like, I love the fact that me and Karamer are now, like, me and Karamer Horn knew each other for 5 seconds before we went, we should do a show together. Okay, cool, let's do a show. And people are like, haven't you been friends your whole life? No. But I knew
she's
that
funny.
She's so great. And she's so talented. A lot of people don't realize she's been doing editing and production and been behind the scenes at stuff at Sci-Fi Wire, and she's just a brilliant logistics person and just graphics designer, and just know people and just really invest in people because they're just so fascinating and brilliant. Aww.
All right, so we're out of time, but I did want to comment on something that I read on your blog. It was the, I think it was Finding Peace and Hope in the TARDIS. Was that the, is that the, am I saying that right?
Love that. Yeah, it's, yes, paraphrasing, but yes, it's a very long title.
Okay. Well, and I saw the title, and this...
It was actually about a Matt Smith episode. I should have brought that up today.
It was a great article, and when I read the title to the article, it meant something different to me than it ended up meaning in the article.
Yeah.
And you guys should definitely read the article. But to me, when I read that, because I knew that you do so much with social activism and social justice, I was like, you know what? I started thinking about the TARDIS and thinking about Doctor Who and how there isn't racism and there isn't unnecessary violence. He's all about doing the good thing without being violent, without being aggressive towards people. Yes, and he's kind of a feminist as well.
Guns are so primitive.
They really are. But, you know, I read that, and then I read it, and even though it meant something completely different to you than it did to me, I thought, you know what, I really love this. It's such a grand idea and such a fantastic thing. And we've been talking about how fantasy and these fandoms can bring people together like that, and it kind of did. It made me feel connected to you, even though I hadn't met you. But, yeah, so, I don't know. That's all I got.
No. Well,
thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
For taking the time to talk to me tonight. Yes, no, it was very good to meet you.
No, this is fantastic. Your entire family is fantastic. I love your kids.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
They're so lovely.
Yes, they're being...
Also, she dresses as a weeping angel.
She
was so good.
She was great. So,
you're my hero.
Thank you for listening to Spilling Ink.